Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories. Good morning. Hello. Welcome. It's Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University. I'm Jesse. I'm very grateful today to be broadcasting on the unceded ancestral territory of the Halkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples, who've been here since time immemorial, gathering to share words and stories and music and thoughts and feelings. And as I said, I feel very grateful and privileged to be able to be in this place, to live in this place, to work in this place, and to be able to make radio here and share my thoughts and ideas and music and conversations with you. Hope you're having a great Thursday so far. Sunny, that's nice. Today on the program, got a couple of interview pieces, and then we'll see where we go from there. I spoke with Laura Grady from Arts New West about a cool new community art project. We've got an interview from contributor Olivia Sherman about a play called a stage show called House of Folk, which is wrapping up this weekend. Still have a chance to go see that. And then we will see where we go from there. We are, of course, going to start, as we always do, with some local music. And as is the current zeitgeist, I suppose, here in my brain, anyway, it's new music from the Golden Age of Wrestling, from Sweet Chin Music, which came out, almost a month ago at this point. This one is called Brontosaurus. Thank you. Brontosaurus by the Golden Age of Wrestling from the new record Sweet Chin Music, which is out now and rules. Go check it out. It's on Bandcamp. You can buy it digitally, and maybe one day we'll get a physical release. Fingers crossed. Okay, up next is a piece from Olivia Sherman, a contributor here on Speak Up. And an interview about the show House of Folk, a lost Canadian folk show. You can check this out at the Fire Hall Arts Center up until March 8th, which is this Sunday. You can grab tickets at firehallartscenter.ca. And let's get into it.
House of Folk is a quiet, contemplative eulogy to the turbulent decade of the 1960s, narrated through five anonymous figures who represent the lost souls, rising ideologies, and cultural shifts seen in that decade. The production has filtered this history through a Canadian lens, showcasing the influential Canadian artists who pioneered alongside their American counterparts in the folk scene and beyond. Here's my interview with House of Folk's director, Tracy Power. Okay, thank you again. I'm hoping that you can give me a little bit of background on the creation of the show. Is there some sort of an inspiration to make a production like this? Was there a recent event that sparked the idea to make a production so specific?
Well, I had created a show about Laurel Canyon, the folk scene in Laurel Canyon in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about, you know, what was the folk scene like in Canada during that same time. Of course, there was quite a few Canadian artists in Laurel Canyon, like Joni Mitchell, Neil Young. And so I was like, well, you know, what was happening here? What was happening up north of the border? And so I started researching that history. And, you know, there was a huge coffee house scene at the time right across Canada, but in Yorkville in Toronto, that was kind of the hub of it all. So Vancouver had a really vibrant scene on 4th Avenue and some other coffee houses downtown. But a lot of the artists would end up going to Yorkville, whether they were from Winnipeg, like Neil Young, or from the East Coast, like Denny Doherty. They all would end up in Yorkville because, in the mid-60s, late-60s, there was over 40 coffee houses in the Yorkville area, which is basically a three-block radius. And it was just incredible, the music that was coming out of all these different coffee houses and the energy of that area of the city. And it's so different now. It's almost like it didn't even exist. And so when you walk around Yorkville today, it's really, you really have to use your imagination to kind of go, what was it like? And of course, people who were there at that time remember that and shared those stories with me, which were just incredible. And so I wanted to create a piece of theater that kind of brought that time to life for those of us that weren't there.
Mm-hmm. And when most people think of folk, usually specifically the 60s folk scene, they usually have a really specific image in mind. They're picturing, Woody Guthrie. They're thinking the Vietnam War. They're thinking Greenwich Village, as you said. And there's actually a joke in the production, which I really liked, talking about how Bob Dylan came into the scene, kind of dominated the whole thing since. Why is it so important for you to focus on Canadian contributions to the 60s folk scene?
Because I think they're incredible. Like the music that was written by Canadian artists or played by Canadian artists, I think often we think of the singer, but there's incredible bass players, incredible guitarists that were a part of that scene, and they're just as much folk artists. Just because they're not maybe writing lyrics, they're a part of the creation of that sound and the music that goes with those lyrics. And so I think it's really important to recognize everyone that goes into, or everything, sorry, mm-hmm. That goes into creating a song. It's not just the person that maybe wrote the lyrics. It's, that person getting together with friends and playing it for the first time. And yes, sometimes it is like a Bob Dylan in his living room, writing a song with the melody and the lyrics, but who inspired him and who did he get together to that with that said, well, what about this? Or, you know, I think there's a real community involved in the creation of song, which is really beautiful. So highlighting the Canadian contribution and to that was really important to me as a Canadian.
Mm-hmm. And just to bounce off of that a little bit, the subtitle of the show is House of Folk, a Lost Canadian Folk Show. And I'm wondering mm-hmm. what the term lost to you means in this context.
For me, it there were artists who were a part of the 60s folk scene who we've never heard of, and who contributed greatly at the time. And so for me, kind of following an artist who we may, you know, who isn't a Joni Mitchell or a Neil Young is really exciting, because it's like they're reimagining or coming back to a scene that they may have left in the 70s because they didn't become a star or they didn't, you know, become famous. So I think it plays that way, but I also, I think it, a Lost Canadian Folk Show is in a way like rediscovering some of these songs.
Mm-hmm. And there's a line in there that I really liked. I think they were quoting Leonard Cohen, talking about the ones who fall between. And that kind of reminds me of that. It was really nice to see lesser-known artists getting a lot of grace in this production. The ones that made it big, Cohen, Joni Mitchell, Gordon Lightfoot, they made it big. But then everyone else kind of fell through the cracks. And particularly, I really loved I Pity the Country by Willie Dunn, and I've loved that song for so long, and to see him getting that time and that recognition was really important. What was the process for choosing who would be featured, do you think?
Oh my gosh, it was really hard because there's a lot of great songs. I've done a number of shows like this that celebrate different artists, musical artists, and I think you want to you know, get to know everybody as much as you can, find different songs that tell different stories. In you're also looking at things technically, like you can't have 15 ballads in a row. It's just, you just can't in a theatrical show. I mean, you can try, but that's that'll be for somebody else, not me. But you want to take the audience on a ride, on a journey. And so by always shifting the tempo of the songs and the feel of the song and what the song is about, you're always re-energizing the audience, and the team on stage is also being re-energized as they move into the next song or the next story as well. So those are a few of the things. There's always some songs that you're like, oh gosh, like I wish I could put that in, but for one reason or another, it doesn't kind of match. It doesn't find its way into the story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think the production asked a couple of very, I don't know, existential questions, but one of them at the front of my mind is, what folk music really is, you know? Would you say that folk music is inherently political, like the punk genre is, or is there some other factor to what makes folk?
I think everyone will have a different answer to that question, which is what I love. If you read my creator's notes, it's so amazing how many different answers there are to that question. And so I think it becomes personal, like what is your folk experience? And what is your experience with folk? Because California Dreamin' is a folk song in who it was created by and who it was written by and it sound, but someone will argue, well, it's not political, mm-hmm. right? So for that person will say, well, folk music is political to them, and that's totally fair. It can be for me, it's whatever you want it to be, because you have a personal relationship with music. What I loved exploring is the scene, and that folk scene and who came out of that. Someone who may have started as, just playing guitar and singing in a folk way, in a folk cafe. And they may have been started singing, like, you know, Woody Guthrie songs. And so they're a folky at heart, but they may have gone into hard rock and explored something different. And so, I don't know. I love that. Love thinking that folk music for some is always lives within their heart, whether they go on to be a heavy metal rocker or not.
Yeah, it was really nice to see. I mean, they talked about the origins of Morning Dew, which was very popularized by Grateful Dead, but little did we know it was a female writer, Bonnie Dobson, who wrote that. So just talking about all those different intersections of how folk is so important to people, and then they go on to do other things. It was really interesting. The characters in the production themselves are essentially anonymous. We don't really hear their names, and they have these little nicknames in the bill as well. Mm-hmm. Are they based on any specific people or inspired by any specific people in the 60s scene? Or are they more figments?
So the five of them are inspired by artists who in their time were a huge part of that scene. Bonnie Dobson, of course, being one of them. Mm-hmm. And so it was exciting to kind of research their journeys, but also, you know, it's a theatrical concert, and so I want the ensemble of five actors, incredibly talented artists, to be able to bring themselves to these characters or these people on stage. So they're inspired by people in the 60s, but I love that they're paralleled with the artists on stage today.
Mm-hmm. And they were, I mean, they were moving. They were talented people. I mean, they all play multiple instruments. That was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel extremely lucky. I've worked with them all before. And so when you're creating a show for five people that you know really well, and you know what they're going to bring, it's pretty exciting, and it's a huge, huge ask of those five performers to learn that amount of music and that amount of text in 3 weeks. And they did an amazing, amazing job, and I'm so, so proud of them.
Mm-hmm. And the music just never really stopped either. Like, there would be snippets of dialogue as the music was in a lull or a slow part. So really, it felt more like an opera than anything, because
that's kind of what I love. I love that music inspires dialogue, and dialogue inspires music. And so part of that journey for the audience is you don't need to clap after every song. Sometimes people try, and that's fair. But I want to be able to kind of let them go on a journey, and so you finish, you come out of the theater, and you've learned about these artists, but you've also felt an emotional journey of what these artists experienced at that time.
Mm-hmm. Are there any aspects that you wanted to explore more in the production but you didn't get the chance to, whether that be songs in particular, like you mentioned, or political events to explore, or other artists to give time to?
Oh, I mean, I think there's always, pieces left on the table. And, but I think they're all, if they were supposed to be there, they would have found their way in there. It'll be good for me to go back and see it again with fresh eyes and go, oh, like maybe this would be another story to share. Or, I think it's, you kind of have to have some distance before you can go back and go like, oh, I think I'd like to add this, or I think we could go here, because you're so in it in the rehearsal process and heading into opening night that, you're just trying to create a piece that you think, audiences are going to really, really enjoy, and that, a cast absolutely loves to perform.
Mm-hmm. And had a pretty good span, I would say. I mean, starting from the early 60s all the way to the 1969-ish, you know, talking about Kent State and all those other atrocities, it really did feel like we were being taken across that whole decade.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, that was the point. So that's great.
Before I let you go, is there anything else that you wanted to add, something about the show itself or the process behind it?
I don't think so. I mean, there's not very many shows left. A bunch of them are sold out, which is super exciting. So if people want to go on this folk journey with us and dive into Canadian folk music of the 60s, we'd love to see them down there, and you might have to get your tickets now.
Perfect. Thank you so much for meeting with me.
You bet, Olivia. You bet.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Olivia. Check out House of Folk at the Fire Hall Arts Center, running until this Sunday, March 8th. I'll be right back, but first some music. This is Cassettes, the track called Videotape.
is Bird Note. When you go birding, sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, and there are more species than you can count. Other times, not so lucky. Not a song, not a sight of a bird. Striking out when looking for birds is frustrating, but it's an essential part of the journey. A bad day of birding can teach you just as much as a good day if you ask the right questions. Like, was there something about the time of day, the weather, or nearby human activities that affected the birds? Am I in the right habitat for the species I'm looking for? Doing some research after a slow day for birds can help reveal why you had the experience you did. Try talking with folks in your area that know about birds. They can provide some context for what you went through, and most likely, they'll commiserate with their own stories about striking out. As in other parts of life, a little failure in birding is inevitable, but it's a great teacher. For Bird Note, I'm Jonice Franklin. Bird Note is supported by Wild Delight Bird Food, with special blends designed to attract the extraordinary. Available at Chewy.com.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. You just heard some music that was videotape by Cassettes. Spelled a little weird. C-A-S-C-E-T-T-E-S. Cassettes. Anyway, from the record, Believe the Simple Things. Cool indie pop, a little, yeah, cool stuff. Chill vibes, as they say. I'm sure people still say that. Anyway, up next, we're going to hear an interview that I did with Laura Grady, who is the executive director of Arts New West, which is an